grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Is there another child? Right. I told her, when we sang the song, it said, everyone. She's the one. Right, Thomas.
I'm Thomas.
Have a conversation.
Brandon, you want to sit down and have a conversation? Thanks for coming up. Do you have any friends? Kind of a dumb question sometimes, right? I think we all do, but you have some friends. Are they here in San Diego? Yeah. Are you going to go see them this week or during the summer?
Yeah.
Did they become friends or did you meet them at school or? Yeah. Like some of them you knew beforehand and some.
Like one of my friends I met here. Mm.
Yeah, and she's not here today, or he's not here today. Nah, so but that's all right, you know. So, well, I do have a friend too, and you know, I've had friends that you know I've met, you know, and then we became friends instantaneously. But I've also had friends that became friends because of other friends. I have a friend Drew. He's my best friend now. Well, one of my best friends. I like everybody. And when I met him through my brother, and I started to take over Drew as my best friend after a while. My brother started hanging out with other people, but we did everything together. Drew and I, we would go to the pool, we would go, you know, biking, you know, all those sorts of things, you know, like you have a best friend and you do everything together. We even played musical instruments together even when we were really bad at it. but the thing was that he was my friend through my brother, and then he became greater as a friend to me because of that, right? Do you have friends like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any, is that somebody that you've met here that done that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I kind of compare this in a way to Jesus. Jesus today, we hear that Jesus welcomes everybody and everybody wants to be his friend, right? And so how Jesus does that is he tells us that through the friends that he made, the close people that he had, his apostles, his disciples, you know, Peter, Thomas, Luke, John, he tells them that anybody that is their friend is also his friend. And so because Jesus welcomes us in such a way, it's true that we have it the same way, you know. It's like I was friends with Drew. It's the same way with Jesus. I didn't have Jesus as a friend just because I met him. I had him because Jesus was told to me. Everybody told me. Everybody that was already a friend of Jesus told me. My mom, my aunt, my pastor, my friends at church, you know, things like that. And so then Jesus became my friend that way. Do you think you can do the same thing for other people? Yeah, we can be friends to other people and tell that Jesus loves them and like he loves us. And so we can welcome them in the same way. We can be friends with everybody. So, but you might hear more about that if you go to Sunday school. So thanks for coming up, though. Do you want to take this one? Here we go.
First reading is a reading from Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and from me ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 89 responsively. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness. For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish
your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted.
Truly our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A second reading from Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none will lose their reward.
That is a promise that is too good to pass up. A promise of eternal life if you give someone a cup of cold water. Please, do your job to get me into heaven. Pass them down, please. All right, have a cup of cold water. A cup of cold water. Given in my name. It seems like such a simple thing. The hardest part was seeing that there was water in these cups. Take one. A cup of cold. Everybody has one?
Yeah.
Everybody has to have a cup of cold water today. It will play later in the sermon as well. So, yes, you can. All right. Hang on to your cup. Whoever gives a cup of cold water in my name to these little ones, You know, it says in the scripture that even a cup of cold water, it's not very much. You know, it's a simple little gesture. But Jesus says, even. He emphasized that the small gesture really counts. It really makes a difference. We often think that being a baptized believer, being a disciple, means requires a huge sacrifice or acts of heroism. And sometimes that is what discipleship demands. But at other times, as in here, Jesus says it's nothing more than giving a cup of cold water or offering a hug to someone who is grieving or giving a ride to someone who no longer drives, volunteering at church or at a food pantry or some other charity, or making a donation to the endowment fund, or you get the idea. Let me tell you two stories from Friday. Well, the first story, it really is more about the welcoming part of this scripture that we just heard. It's all one, that was one sentence, the whole gospel. I was reading an article on Friday in a journal, and it was about being a welcoming church. And we've used the tagline, "All are welcome." And a lot of churches use that. And this article was asking that question. Are you? I've never seen a church advertise, "Some are welcome," or "You might be welcome." And yet, are we really a welcoming church? Well, after I was reading this article, which was asking that question, I read one of our neighboring churches' newsletter. And the pastor was asking the very same question in his article on the front page of that newsletter. It seems that a couple visitors, two in a row, had said to the pastor, in the follow-up, you know, "You're a visitor, and how did you find our church?" And two people, 2 weeks in a row, said to him that they found that church very unwelcoming. And they said, both of the people had the same experience. They said that they were welcomed during worship, like we did this morning, that we really welcomed people, and they felt very welcome during worship. And then, brave people that they are, went into the coffee hour, and no one spoke to them. People nodded at them and smiled, maybe even said hello, but no one engaged them in conversation. They didn't feel welcome. Think about it. If you invite someone to your house, and then they come, you don't leave them standing in the living room in a room full of strangers while you go into the kitchen and chat with your friends. That wouldn't be very welcoming. That wouldn't be very hospitable. Are we a welcoming church? The second story. On Friday afternoon, I got a phone call from a gentleman who occasionally visits here at St. Peter's. And he was having a particularly rough day, and he just wanted someone to talk to. And he started telling stories. Several years ago, he came here on a Sunday morning and was feeling very alone. And then he continued his story. One of the church women stopped what she was doing, put down her things, and just sat down and talked with me. I'll never forget it. He said that a number of times in our conversation. I'll never forget that. Now, I'm pretty sure that whoever it was that he visited with that day has long forgotten that. But he will never forget it. Little things mean so much I'd like you to think of a story of your own. A little thing, a cup of cold water. Maybe you were the recipient. You just were. Or maybe you were the giver. But think of that story. Now take your cup, turn it upside down, and write a word or two words on the bottom of that cup that will remind you of that story, of the story of you either being the giver or the recipient, and the pencils work. I mean, the pencils work on that cup. I know pencils work, but I'm going to write listening to remind me of that Friday story. And then smash it, or flatten it, flatten it. Flatten your cup. Because I'm going to ask you to make this your offering today. To put this in the offering plate. Whatever that small cup of cold water that you have given or that you have received, that is your offering. That's your gift. That's your promise. Thank you. Thank you for being disciples. Thank you for being witnesses to the gospel in even these small ways of listening or paying attention to someone. Discipleship doesn't have to be heroic. It's like all the little things that we do for our spouses or our children or our friends, those little things that go unnoticed, but yet the very things that shore up the relationship, that make that relationship so good, of all those little things that we do. That's true in our faith life as well. It's made up of 1,000 little acts. Except according to Jesus, in this passage, there are no little acts, no small gestures. Anything done in love and faith has eternal significance to the ones that are involved and for the world that God loves so much. You've probably heard the story by Lauren Easley about the starfish thrower. A young girl is walking along the beach, and there were thousands of starfish that had been washed up during a terrible storm. And when she came to each starfish, she would pick it up and throw it back into the ocean. People were watching this girl with amusement. She was doing it for some time, and a man approached her and he says, "Little girl, what do you think you're doing? Look at this beach. You can't possibly save all of these starfish. You can't make a difference." And she felt suddenly crushed, deflated. But then after a few minutes, she bent down and picked up another starfish, hurled it as far as she could into the sea. And then she looked up at the man and said, "Well, to the ones I throw back, it makes all the difference in the world." Truth. Because Jesus has promised to come at the end of time to redeem all in love, to fix all the messes, to heal all the hurts, to wipe every tear from every eye, we don't have to worry about that. We can, in the meantime, spend ourselves in acts of mercy and deeds of compassion, not trying to save the world. It's not our job, that's God's job. Jesus got it. But our job is trying to take care of this little spot of the world where we find ourselves. And so even a cup of cold water can make a huge and unexpected difference to those who receive it. And according to Jesus, that has eternal consequences. Every act of mercy makes a difference. Everything that is written on those cups makes a difference. Every act of mercy reverberates with Christ's love for the world. This is the love that we share with every merciful gesture that may seem small in the eyes of the world, but looms large in the lives of those who witness them. You, in so many ways, are making this world that God loves so much a better place. A little more better, a little more better, a little more honest, a little more welcoming, a little more kind. Through these gestures of love and compassion and mercy, you are changing the world. You are making a difference. There is no such thing as a small gesture. Through your cups of cold water, whatever that is, you are caring for the world that God loves so much. So on behalf of the world, let me say thank you. Thank you for being a disciple. Thank you for sharing that love and that mercy and compassion. Thank you for being that disciple. And thank God for turning our small gestures into eternal rewards. Thank God for even a cup of cold water. Amen.